Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
Kristen is asking Brittany about her time with Zach, and Brittany's like, well, he was talking about Brandon, and you know, he just word I'm moving too fast, and I felt attacked. Okay, Janet. You know, I was attacked because he was coming at me, and I talked to Brandon about it, and I was like, people are worried because you got baggage. And Kristen's like, well, everyone has baggage. I mean, duh. It's like, yeah, but like nobody's baggage compares to Jax Taylor. Like, let's be real.
Actually, I think.
A lot of people's
three kids with two. I mean, I think three kids with two women that you're having like really bad relationships with is comparable.
The reason actually why we could always tell Brittany that Jax Taylor was bad news is that because he's so not unique. Like, Jax Taylor is like a cookie cutter, narcissistic, abusive asshole bad guy. And like, we've seen it before. We've seen Lifetime movies. We saw that movie with Julia Roberts. We've just seen, unfortunately, people in our real lives. And it's just like, I'm a little worried that she is in this kind of post-Jax honeymoon space where she's like, well, I already went through hell. I'll know how to see it. And it couldn't get any worse than that. So I'm fine. It's like, no, actually, there's so many more guys out there like that. Like, just please be careful. I already just don't love that she's kind of saying that she already told Brandon, like, oh, people are worried, which means she said, my friend Zach came over and he was like, he's just trying to look out for me, but he was like, watch out for you because you got like two kids. And like, what do you think about that? Zach's real nice though. I don't want it to be awkward between you and Zach. Like, she's already kind of pitting them against each other.
Yep, exactly. So Janet comes up to Jasmine and Jasmine's eating. She's eating alone. And Janet comes up. She's like, I don't want to bug you while you're eating, but do you have a second? Mm-hmm. Okay. She's like, you're good. You're good. She goes, yeah, feel free to keep eating. Oh, thanks. You came up to me with half a taco in my mouth. I will feel free.
I just want to say that there is a 1 p.m. opening to view the pandas. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit into costume here. I just also wanted to talk because I
would feel you like a lobotomy? Okay. No. Do you need the bathroom cleaned? Okay. I can do a lot of jobs today. So
I'm in a universal uniform and I can't tell which direction I want to go in.
That's the psycho house right over there. If you look in the window, you can see Norman's mother.
So she's like, well, I feel like things haven't been 100% or like great with us. And I want you to know that you mean a lot to me. And I wanted to apologize again for really just speaking on stuff that I wasn't involved in. And Jasmine's like, thank you. I don't know if this is the time to do it here, but like, I think that there's a gigantic conversation that we need to have to get, you know, to the real root of this, like what happened between us. Yes. And I didn't even realize at the time, like, why was I so mad? And then I just started to do therapy and like, thank God.
I'm sorry. Did you pause? Someone is delivering the gold medal that Janet's getting for going to therapy one time. I'm sorry. Thank you. I'll be sure to pass that on. Thanks.
Give me one session in time. Where I'm more than I thought I could be. Well, I'm in therapy. I do it at Dave and Buster's. Basically, every time I have a breakthrough, I get to roll a ball.
Ticket therapy.
Ball.
Yes. Saving up for a PlayStation cover.
They say that if I can get 20,000 credits, I can have a breakthrough about my childhood. So just fingers crossed I can get there.
You know, and this is one of the things in therapy. You know, for the 10 minutes that I went, I was like, you know, this is unresolved. And I'm very, very bothered by this, you know, because Jasmine, she's always been awesome. This Jasmine, you know, Jasmine smells good. Everybody loves Jasmine. Aladdin, love Jasmine. Jasmine. Am I right, everybody? Jasmine. Okay. Nobody's going to cheer.
You know, therapy.
I guess because I'm dressed like a janitor. Cheers with janitors. Sorry.
But I also could invite people to watch the koalas. So that's kind of cheerworthy. Therapy has been a big help. Just last week when I went to therapy, I came home with a little poofy ball that sort of, I think it was supposed to be Cat Dog from Nickelodeon, but I couldn't, wasn't quite sure what it was. But either way, it was really cool. Great time.
Therapy is so good. Last time I came back, I was driving home from therapy and I was like, wow, this is a great milkshake. Like, that was a Shake Shack. It's not therapy.
Yeah. I like to go to Joyce and Ruth's, which is kind of like Dave and Buster's, except it's based after Dr. Ruth and Dr. Joyce Brothers. Learned so much.
So I realized, last year I was using a lot of words with the intention to hurt. And so I'm really diving into that with my therapist to say, like, how can we work through that where I can express myself or maybe communicate without using hurtful language? And Jasmine's like, uh-huh. Well, in my mind, this whole friendship was dead. So it's like gone, done. So, I had a funeral for you in my head. No one came, by the way. It was sad. I felt for you. But, it's a thought. Like, I before you would have been in my wedding. And I was just thinking the other day, like, look at this wedding that I'm not planning. Like, I'm not even planning on Janet not being there, but she wouldn't be there had I been planning this wedding. You know what I mean? It was like so awkward in my head.
Great. Yeah, totally get it. And since this conversation seems like it's actually going quite well, I thought I'd derail it a little bit. So I hope we can have some resolution. One thing I would really love us to have resolution on is what time the giraffes are fed, because I was told 4 p.m. But I've been telling the groups it's at 3 p.m. I just want to make sure that's okay. It's 4 p.m. Another thing is the conversation at the beach last year was really tough. And I was thinking maybe we should talk about it maybe a sixth time just to really get to the root of it. Do you have any sort of understanding that like an apology would be nice for like all that shit you called me that day when I came up to you and ganged up on you with my husband, a conversation that the two of you were having. So you want to say,
when I noticed into your business yet again and stood there like a Karen and tried to force an apology out of you for something that was none of my business. You remember that? Can I get an apology for that? Janet, making amends does not mean going door to door and using therapy as a victim cloak to shield yourself from any criticism and then demanding apologies from people. I mean, I think you need to just keep going. Are you going to Kristen's therapist who asked, how much is 15 minutes, Kristen? Fuck your husband. Is this the same therapist? Because I'm seeing a trend. Maybe you need to go over the hill for therapy. Okay, I'm saying that right now. So Jasmine's like, well, I was heated because I literally had you two coming at me. And she goes, of course. Well, I was heated when I blocked you and I've done everything that I've done. So she goes, okay. She's like, so then maybe space is good. Okay, enjoy your tacos. Oh, fuck off. Fuck off coming over here and demanding an apology. And Jasmine's like, oh, well, yep, not going to eat these now because they're covered in flies because I stopped talking to listen to this complete waste of an apology.
The flies are like, wow, we are really striking out today. First, we got stuck on the Michelle and Tom date, and now we got stuck listening to Janet.
I'm going back to Sir. The grass is always greener.
I like the taco. Oh, shut up. So then, Janet, Michelle,
y'all just don't understand Brittany Fly.
The Brittany Fly.
Brittany Fly's like, guys, I actually think we should eat more of the tacos. It's really not so bad. The taco didn't mean anything by it. He really didn't. So then Janet, Michelle, and Brittany are all chatting. And Janet's like, well, Isabella, you're the star. Don't you know that? It's like, oh, yeah, she is going to give me a lot of things. Yeah. It's like, wait, how do you feel about being here with everyone, Janet? She's like, yeah, I feel okay. Jasmine and I talked a little bit. It was okay. It's like, oh, you talked to Jasmine? Yeah, I literally just said that. And I told her, I would just follow her lead on this. Oh, okay. I just wish everyone would get along and just be in Wonderland,
So Janet compliments Isabella's little shoes. And she's like, well, what are those little Dolce & Gabbanas? And Michelle's like, I ate them. It's like, well, these must have come from Lacey then. Okay, well, if she wants to waste her money on expensive stuff for your kid, why not? And Brittany's like, Lacey Bottom! Holy, this whole time I thought Jesse Bottom!
So now Jesse and Zach go to a drink at a bar called The Aviator, which is basically like an airplane. I've always been curious about this bar. I think it's on Beverly or Melrose. And I've been very curious about it. And now I don't know. I can't tell if I'm more curious or less curious now, but you basically sit in chairs like you're in 1960s airplane, but it's a room.
It's a plane. It's shaped like a plane. It's a set. It's like a plane set that you walk onto, and you even get like the coffee, tea, maybe chai. What do you want to drink today? What can I get you? And yeah, you sit like you're on a plane. It's the weirdest place, but I love the dedication to camp.
That's what I like. But I also feel bad for the waiter who's like, I came out to LA to be Young and the Restless, and now I'm 47 and I am serving these two idiots a cocktail in a fake flight attendant uniform. Okay. So Jasmine's like, hey, so what happened with Jasmine's act? Oh my God. So last night Jasmine calls me and she's like, Lala invited me to the party today. And Jesse's like, oh, so I guess now we're just not good enough to go to Lala's. Like, yeah, right. Like the sip and see. Like, I feel like we all had like entered like another dimension and things were like happening. And I was like, what's going on? Am I right?
So originally, Zach, Jesse, and Jasmine were not invited to go to Lala's because she's Team Janet. Oh, Lord. So Jesse's like, well, I was kind of nervous arriving with Lacey. Like, I had like sweaty mustache, you know? But you know what? We have a lot of a really long backstory. And Zach's like, yeah, because you met when she was like, what, 15? 23. 16? 23. She was 23. Yeah, you were like old. Yeah, she was 23 or probably 4, and I was 30. So thanks. But you know, we were texting every day. I mean, for like years, day in, day out, texting. And then I met Michelle, you know? So why does everybody have that? Why do you think it's fishy that storyline is now two people? I don't know what I mean by fishy. It seems like people are like, oh, no, this is totally normal now because we have a longer history. Because Brittany's doing that, too. Like, oh, well, I knew this guy before. So it's like, oh, we're just jumping. We're just going quickly because we've known each other for that long. And that's what he's saying, too.
That's a great point.
I don't really have one. It's just I don't know what my point is, except it seems weird. Like they're trying to make these relationships seem more solid.
Well, first of all, we see two people who are incapable of moving forward with their lives. Second, because they're basically
retreads
back to the greatest
hits. Yeah, it's like throwing the greatest hits. Yeah, it's like
those, but the difference
what is those albums like called that they used to, the Now albums, the Now CDs.
Yeah. Like, now that's what I call relationship from the past. Bad decisions. I think the difference is that with Brittany, we see her as someone who is susceptible to falling into traps and needs to do a lot of work on herself before she throws herself back in the dating pool. Whereas Jesse was the narcissist in his relationship. And so it's kind of like, if anything, we should be concerned for Lacey. But Lacey also seems like, I feel like Lacey seems to have like, be the one wearing the pants with Jesse, which is what was surprising is what we see. So
yeah, I'm interested in this because
no,
it turns out that Lacey, so he, you know, we heard this stuff from Michelle, like Jesse, you know, we made a lot of money and then Jesse just decided to stop working and go party and spend all the money. And I'm still working and Jesse's out there partying and I'm trying to raise a baby and this and that. And he's a user basically. And I think people at the time were like, okay, well, you both seem toxic. Who knows? But now we see him in this relationship and he's clearly trying to use this woman. And like all the money she got from her ex, like it's clear as day. It's even clear to her. So yeah, it's interesting to see him in this because I think we're seeing him as much more of a player and a user.
Yeah, I think so. I do think the story of like we used to text every single day for years and years and years until I met Michelle is like a little bit weird. I think it's I don't understand that. And then like Amelie goes back to texting, so I don't know what it sort of pings on my radar is like, so you were interested in this girl for all this time, but nothing ever happened with her, but you still like engaged with her for years and years and years. And then you just like dropped her, which I think is kind of weirdly cruel. I don't know. There's something weird. There's like a weird element going on here.
Well, they both went off and got married and had kids and she got a lot of money, I guess, in her marriage and her relationship. And so now suddenly she's good enough because she's rich. Yeah. So he's like, oh, shit, you live in a mansion in Orange County? I'm in. When can I move in, babe?
Yeah, so he is feeling like he loves this relationship. He says, the thing is about Lacey is I feel that we are equals. And when it comes to conversation and intellect with Michelle, I always felt like she wasn't participating. Like she was just the kind that was there for the ride. I'm like, because you probably took up all the air in the room. and she's probably miserable, and she's probably thinking to herself, how can I get out of this stupid conversation about ayahuasca?
Yeah, Jesse's intellectual conversations.
Oh, to be a fly on that wall.
They're like, oh, I'm still licking taco off my shins from the last party I went to. Leave me out of this.
The men's coach is putting his palm on the fly's shoulder. just let us know what you think, man.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Yeah, you know, Lacey's trying to take steps to create that modern family, you know, because I know how important it is for Isabella when she sees the two of us together. So he's saying that Lacey says that Michelle was very nice in that conversation. And Zach's like, oh my God, if I had pearls, I would have grabbed them or gotten a paper towel. Depends on the kind of necklace. But you know what? I was floored that they were talking. Forlorn, because I'm Zach. Like, that is crazy. I saw two people talking at a party. Whoa.
And I thought that, like, everyone, like, I thought everything was, like, the Twilight Zone, because then I saw Michelle and Tom talking, and I was like, Tom, why are you doing that? He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot who it was that said something to me. They were like, oh, Schwartz and Michelle, they should just, like, get together. And then, like, you, Schwartz, Lacey, and Michelle should just start hanging out. But I went to Schwartz and Michelle individually, and I was like, you guys should get together. It's like, no, like, that's, like, the blind leading the blind. Like, I don't like it. So back to the birthday party, it's still going on, going strong. And Luke pulls over, pulls over Tom. He's like, hey, dude, Tom, I got to tell you something. Right before we left, Grace and I hooked up for the first time since giving birth. I'm like, okay, great. Congratulations. You pressured her into finally having sex before the party.
Arnie, is you're talking to the biggest masturbator in the room.
Seriously.
Tom's like, why? Why'd you need that? he's a creep. Luke, I mean. So Tom's like, I don't know, I'm not a woman, but you know, from what I hear, like, not being after you have a baby, you're not comfortable in your own skin, and you know, you have postmortem and all that stuff. So I guess that's a beautiful thing that you could make her feel comfortable in her body that probably feels like it's just been dead and is getting judged by a coroner.
Luke is like, postmortem? He's like, sorry, I'm a little boy. Me and Lala are chatting, and Lala's like, I feel so weird even talking to you about this, but I want to find like a level grounds for you and Janet's. She's like, it's just like a lot of damage that's been on my mind. It's just been done. And like, you do really have like, do you really have like a change of mind? Or is it just like performative to like get along in a group space? Like, I don't even know. It's like, well, I'm advocating for the devil with a Christian woman's. So yes, uphill battles for me.
So she's going to make them talk. And Nia's like, I mean, like, I just don't like Janet. So she goes in and Janet's like, are you having an amazing day? I've been to therapist once, so I talk like this. And Lala's like, yes, but you know, it's going to be even more amazing because you're going to have a conversation with Nia. You know what? She's willing to build a bridge. She's going to build a bridge. And she's like, really? And she goes, yeah, I just want you to hear her out. So Lala's basically like, oh, listen, Nia's outside. She wants to apologize to you. now she's selling this to Janet. And Janet, yes, just goes, oh, okay. Well, I'm happy to hear her out. I'm very happy to hear her out. Should I keep the safari hat on or take it? I mean, I'm not really sure how she is around animals. I haven't talked to her for a while. So, okay, I'll go. So she goes, and they're both looking at each other like, hello. Hi. Waiting for your apology.
Yes. And Lala just leaves. I feel like Lala should have mediated a little bit. So she's like, hi. They're looking at each other. And Danny goes, well, I know today's been awkward. If there's anything you want to say or get off your chest, I'm happy to listen. And Nia just is like, no. It's like, okay, well, congratulations again. Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. Talk to you soon.
So she goes in. I'm like, she is already dialing the police, Janet. So Nia's like, I mean, normally Janet walks away from conversations when they get tough, but nothing even happened. So I'm not sure. So she goes in and Lala's like, Nia, what just happened? And she tells her, and she's like, what the hell? Because you lied, Lala. No one was willing to apologize. Yes. So now Janet pulls the effervescent Jared to the side to have a talk. and they go into a room. They have to have a private room for this discussion. And Janet's like, Lala pulled me to talk to Nia. And I said, okay, it's awkward. So congratulations on your home and your baby. And if you have anything to say to me. And then she's just staring at me, nodding her head. I mean, if we go below the surface, she doesn't want to talk about what happened.
So then Nia walks into this room to feed her baby. She's like, oh, sorry, wrong spot. Trying to feed the baby. Janet's like, oh, no, come in. She's like, no, that was awkward. So Janet's like, she's like, I feel like with Danny and Nia, I'm not ever going to be able to win, which is crazy after you accuse someone of doing sexual assault. Like, you just can't seem to ever win them back. Nia, I do need to apologize for using words to cause her pain. She's innocent in some ways, but also defending the behavior is kind of a tough one for me. So I don't know. And then Nanny pulls
back. I don't think Nia ever defended the behavior. Nia was mortified. Nia was like, yeah, you need to just keep apologizing until people are ready to forgive you, sir, because that's ridiculous. I don't think Nia was ever like, Danny didn't do anything wrong. She was like, yeah, Danny did wrong. He needs to apologize. So Nia's like, yeah, that was the show. She's telling Danny about it. And Danny's like, well, I mean, you only talked for 2 seconds and then she just walked away. There are not unless they change. There's no conversation unless we get a sorry. By the way, are you ready to get fucked like crazy? Because we are at a party where they have tacos outside. They get me hard, baby. They get me going, girl.
So now it's another day and Danny picks up Zach to join him for an appointment for a vasectomy. So Danny is like, well, it's only right that you come with me to get my balls checked. We're going to be ball brothers. Okay. We see a flashback to when they got like scrotum.
Scrotox.
Y'all. So he's like, yeah, poor Nia. She's having a sad day. Yeah. Probably just a hormone. So sad for her. Okay. I still tried to pressure her to having sex, but like she was very sad. You know, very sad.
Oh, can we stop at this t-shirt shop? I want to get one that says, fuck this guy with an arrow pointing down. Down to my nuts.
So when it like comes to like who wanted to push this like ball snipping forward, was it like more you or was it like more like Nia? Yeah, it was Nia because it never even crossed my mind to do this. She's like, what? Like you just like want to use a condom the rest of your life? It's like, no, I just, it's called pull and pray method, you know? That's the thing. Like it kills me to think that Asher won't have a brother to grow up with. And a lot of people are saying it's pretty ballsy procedure. Get that ballsy. Ballsy vasectomy, ballsy.
Zach's like, oh, God. So they go to the doctor's office, and the doctor's like, yeah, so you brought a wingman to get a vasectomy? It's like, yeah, I brought my support. My wife's not fucking me, so that's where we're at. So the doctor's like, all right, vasectomy, and he whips out a little, you know, like, balls. What do they call it? Like a statue, like not a statue, but like a learning tool or whatever. It's like shaped it's like a diorama. Wiener. And yeah, he like plops it on the table. He's like, all right, vasectomies, 200 years old. You ready for the spiel? I don't got all day. All right.
The doctor's like, whoa, I've never seen such dark pools behind someone's eyes. Danny, sorry, I got distracted. Anyway, this is how it works. 200-year-old process. We're going to go in there, cut things off. He's like, whoa, hi, hey, so is this, am I actually going to be able to, like, you know, is it going to take away my testosterone? Like when you neuter a dog and they become calm. And the doctor's like, well, when you neuter a dog, you take the testicles out.
Will I still be able to play baseball? Yes. Will I still be able to drive on the correct side of the street, or is that going to mess everything up?
Will I still be able to do the sounds of zombies?
It's like, God, you're actually fucking idiot. No. It's like, actually, Nia has requested that we snip your balls and your vocal cords, so probably not.
So then the doctor takes Danny, I guess, for the, I don't know, was this, it didn't seem like this was the procedure. I guess it was just the inspection. So he like drops his trousers and he's like, okay, well, yep, there is a dick there and there's some balls, et cetera. So yeah,
it's pretty nice, pretty decent. Okay. God, you go to Mosaic. God, this is good. So he's like, okay, listen, so I would not exercise for about 5 or 6 days and sex 6 or 5 days possibly because you're going to be fertile for 3 months. Or 35 ejaculates. And Danny's like, and who's going to take care of my wife? Who's going to be a wheelchair after getting fucked for 35 times?
The doctor's like, First time I heard that one. That's great.
The doctor hates him. He hates him. And so Zach comes in. He's like, how are your balls? Can we find them still? He's like, I found them. They're really big, actually. And he's like, oh, my God, don't egg him on. I love this doctor. This is like the best doctor we've ever seen on here. He's like, wow, big balls. I gotta say, hated the guy. Love the balls. Very, very good balls.
Now we go to Jesse and Lacey getting dinner at Javier's, because if you can't be in Orange County, bring Orange County to you. So Jesse, like, they sit down and Jesse, like, is wearing a baseball cap. He takes it off and he's like smiling through rage. And he's like, so I only wore a hat because you told me you were wearing a hat. She goes, I know, I lied. Which, by the way, you know, I think this is a point for Lacey. She's like, I am trying to reduce the hair dent, so I'm going to make him have hat head at dinner. Whatever it takes, get rid of the hair dent.
Yeah, she's like, just do not, whatever you do, do not wear a headband. Please.
So she's like, I lied. Can I tell you what just happened to me? I was just stopped and accosted by this psychic named Lola, and she says she has something sinister to tell me, and it's immediate.
Lacey may be one of the strongest women I've ever met, but she's also very classy and a little bougie. I'm like, okay, I'm waiting to see all three of those qualities.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not trying to be bougie. I'm like trying the reverse bougie Uno card, right? Like when we're out, I'm trying to be relatable.
Like, relatable? Who talks about themselves like that?
See, notice the way I reference Uno. People play Uno. That makes me relatable. I'm never trying to be bougie. I have bleach blonde hair extensions and I have that look. So that's it. And then Jesse's like, yeah, but you do wear Zara jeans. She goes, yeah, but I do only wear jeans from Zara's. I live in Newport Coast. I was born in San Clemente. I was like, what? Does Jesse have like a kink for robot talking women?
Yeah, there is something that he, yeah, it's like a kink for odd vocal inflections or something weird. She's like, I was born in San Clemente. My house is nice. It's around 4,000 square feet and it has 5 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms. You guys can Google it, like Janet.
It is kind of funny because before, like when computers used to dictate things, they would sound like Michelle. Like, today I went to the store and I found something. But then like they came out like in 2010, they came out with the lady in our phones who now speaks like Lacey. So Lacey's just like the true evolution of computer dictation, which makes sense because she's the now the second lady in Jesse's life.
She's up from like the refrigerator that knows when it's time to go to the store. She's like a step up from that.
Yeah. So Lacey's like, anyway, I think I'm still talking about the psychic Lola. She said, I can see you're unhappy in your home.
Well, first like, of all, a psychic just walked up to you in the street and said, hi, my name's Lola. I'm a psychic. You're unhappy in your home. The fuck? Like, what is with all the professionals in Los Angeles right now? The therapists. Now we've got this crazy crosswalk fucking psychic.
Lacey, are you sure you weren't just watching Run Lola Run and just thought it was about you for some reason? She told me to run. She told me to run the entire movie. She said I should run. So Jesse's like, well, I mean, the bathroom remodel is taking a very long time. So she's not off. She's like, yeah, but I'm stoked. I love my house. Jeez. Well, it's a dream house. I mean, in my dream neighborhood, by the way.
Wink, 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 wink.
As long as I have an adolescent child, I will never live with another man. You're a hoarder. I'm not a hoarder. I'm a saver of memories. It's cute, though.
Hoarding is cute. I got married in my 20s. I have a little girl. I got divorced shortly after my kid. And then I landed on Jesse Lolly.
And the producer's like, well, you did well in your divorce, I take it. And she goes, yeah, I did well in my divorce, as every woman should.
Reverse Uno card. Relatable. Jesse's like, it's like, well, I do know the house next to yours is on the market for rent right now. Out of your price range. Ha ha.
I love this. I love this power that she has over Jesse, where she's like, yeah, you're not moving in with me and you can't afford to live in my neighborhood. So stop. Make an effort.
Okay. Make an effort, baseball cap boy.
I actually was surprised that I liked Lacey a bit more than I thought I would. I was ready to be like, oh, this vapid fucking bitch. And I was actually impressed with how she was sort of like a bit more like commanding. And she did kind of bust his balls a bit more. But it also kind of gives Michelle some credence when Michelle says, like, yes, she's all nice to my face and you see this nice sweet side, but she's actually a raging bitch. And you can sort of see that she's like, Lacey is a bit tough, I feel like. I think that what we see is that she's not just like some like, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you type, you know?
I think she's very aware that Jesse is using her. I think she knows Jesse well enough, if she's known him for years, to know. And he keeps hinting on moving in with her and stuff to her house. He's not like, you want to move into my house? He wants to move into her house. So I think she's pretty aware that he's using her, and she's probably fine to use him too to get on TV. Because I'm sure that Lacey has been told her whole life, this personality needs to be on television. Okay. Can we bottle this and sell this? I mean,
yeah. I mean, if you tell me she's never auditioned for Real Housewives of Orange County, I'm like, you are lying. I'm surprised she was. She probably was in the background for Laguna Beach. If you go back to those reruns, you probably see in the background waving at the camera from like,
she's going
to
be one of those, like with Sheena, where people are like, oh my God, did you guys know Sheena was on Laguna Beach for one episode or whatever?
So, Lacey, Jesse's talking about like the, trying to move in next. It's like, would you ever move out to LA? She's like, not in 1 million years. Why? Well, my daughter's in the best school. She's got her family. Why would I ever uproot her life for my own selfish well-being? It's like, well, I agree. It works exactly how we've always planned it from the beginning. But I think you're a little bit more clingy than I am. I'm super clingy regardless of where we live. And I am extremely happy with you, especially when you smile with your teeth like this. You know, when you do that smile thing and you show like a few of your teeth, isn't it funny? Show your teeth, show your teeth.
She's like, no. And he goes, well, but you know, I have been working on my complaining and my defensiveness and my stupidity. And she's like, don't call yourself stupid. It's a lack of self-awareness. Anyway, gonna do the egg freezing this month. He's like, well, how many are we gonna freeze? She goes, not we, me. These are my eggs. I'm not trying to have a child, especially with a poor person. I just want to have the option one day in case I meet somebody with a, you know, job. He's like, will we have a blonde child or a dark haired child? Jesse, she's bleached. You can see her roots and you're not blonde either. What are you talking about? Do you not even know how the genetics work?
Yeah. He's like, we have the same color eyes. She goes, no, you have black eyes. It's like, yeah, I have a black heart. Don't say that about yourself. Only I can say that about you. I love you very much. Thank you. I'm trying to be nice.
It's not just in your DNA. I swear, I'm really nice and love. God, this scene is killing me, honestly. So it's like two people with no energy talking. So he's like, kiss me. She's like, you have pepper in your mouth. And he's like, I love you. And she goes, thank you again. And he's like, oh my God, fucking thank you. Always with the thank you. Check, please. Jesse, you are not getting that house. So keep trolling.
Yep. So now.
No, this is very typical of ex-model men in LA. Just they're trying it. It's like the last. It's like, oh my God. It's like the last of it. It's like, I still got a little bit of it. Surely I can get a rich one now. It's over. Get a job.
Commercials. Here comes one right now. Now Tom and Michelle go to a salt cave in the valley.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, seriously. And they're going to do a sound bath, etc. So Michelle is the sound bath person in the salt cave is asking if Michelle's gone
the salt lady is like, hi guys. Yes, I am wearing the same outfit Janet was wearing in the first scene, but God, that's embarrassing. Okay. So anyway, guys, I want to know why you're here today. I'm here to see Little Shop of Horrors. What the fuck do you think I'm here for? Play your fucking bowls.
Yeah, seriously.
What, are you going to play me a different song on your bowls if I have like a super traumatic issue? Play your fucking bowls. Don't make me. This isn't about me. I hate audience participation. Just do your little show.
Yeah, seriously. So Michelle is talking about how her mom passed away and she also has finishing a nasty divorce. And Tom is saying that he's at the end of a very dramatic few years. And so they're going to have a grounded space. So they do their whole sound bath thing, etc. And the two of them basically start to flirt with each other. They do actually have chemistry, it seems like. It's like the first time we've seen Michelle truly smile and have like a lighthearted conversation with someone that wasn't about Jesse. So, I guess they're.
Yeah, I'm not buying this horse shit for 2 seconds. So stop wasting my time, show. So they go through this bullshit scene that I'm not buying. Do you have anything else you want to say about it?
The only thing that comes out of it is that they basically are going to organize a group trip to San Diego. So the first trip of the season.
The very subtle. Yeah. All this talk about parents dying and, you know, whatever I've got going on in my dirty apartment. I think we should all go on a trip.
Okay. Smooth. Tom, you've been doing this for like 100 years. Okay.
Seriously. Now we go to Danny and Nia's house in the northern tundra known as Santa Clarita. And they put the kids to bed. And Nia's like, so how was your appointment? How's everything? Can you please distract me from my emotions and hormones? He's like, well, I really like the doctor. Sort of looked like Martin Landau, if you know who he is. And he's done over 3,000 times. And for the procedure, you have to ejaculate 35 times before all the swimmers are out. So countdown, John. Okay, 35 under 35.
And meanwhile, she's got a baby on her boob at the moment. And I'm only pointing that out because this guy and his tact. It's like she's sitting there. She's depressed. She's been crying all day. And she's got a baby on her boob, like literally eating right now. And she's stressed that she can't get the baby enough milk and et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, yeah, I got to ejaculate 35 times. Should we start? Should we start now? She's like, that's great for you. And he's like, and for you, because then he said, I got to be bedridden for 10 days and I can't pick up the kids and I can't help around the house and I can't do any carpools or anything.
Yeah. And by the way, we see a flashback that the doctor says 5 or 6 days, but Danny's having to add 10 days.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm hoping he's kidding.
Can't do anything.
Yeah. I'm hoping he's kidding, but at this point, I don't know. So, she's like, liar, if a woman can have a C-section cutting through 7 layers of her body and then walk around the same day, you'll be fine with your balls. And he's like, but women are stronger than men, babe. She's like, I know, but you know, I'm nervous about my milk. I don't know. She's not latching. And he's like, yeah, guess today was the day, huh? Want to fuck? You'll forget about it. She's like, I just can't stop crying, you know? And it took me 2 hours to get home because I stopped for 15 minutes because she wouldn't nurse because she's crying. And then I'm crying and we're both crying. And he's like, guess what else is crying? My dick. It hasn't been doing anything.
He's like, I'm sorry. So can we go back to talking about my thing? I want to have sex 35 more times. Is that okay? So Nia's talking about how, you know, she loves her house up here in Santa Clarita, but she's really isolated. So, for example, she would love to see more of Kristen and she wants to kind of like be going through the postpartum together with her. And she's just so far away. And she's like, I know I signed up for it and I'm grateful, but just like the house is a mess. I've got 4 kids and like my heart truly breaks for her because she has all these kids. I think she's getting some help from Danny. I don't think Danny is a, I think that he actually does seem like a hands-on dad, but like still a lot is on her shoulders and she is totally isolated. And this was all his dream to go to this house, as it was his dream to have another child. And it's just, I feel like everything is on her shoulders and she has to clean up the house and just, she's just feeling completely overwhelmed by the whole thing. And on top of that, she's feeling sad because the kid isn't like, it's not, the nursing isn't working the same way as it always has been. And poor girl's at her wit's end. And then you have Danny being like, I'm not going to be able to help you for 10 days because I'm going to have some ice in my ball. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So she talks to him and she goes through all of the things she's been crying over and all the reasons she's upset and she's miserable. She's basically like, I'm miserable and there's a lot on my shoulders right now. And he goes, gosh, babe, you know, focus what's on important. All the lovemaking on the calendar that I started putting together. And he's just smiling and she's like, oh my God. Like, I mean, I get that he's like trying to be cute, but it's just not cute, Danny. I mean, you force this woman out to this place. She's fucking miserable. She has no friends. She has no community. She has no village. And then you're like sitting here like being wacky about getting off. It's just not great.
I thought the scene was going to end with him cracking that joke, but being like, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm there for, you're my number one priority, whatever you need. But he really was kind of serious. He was like, yeah, but what about the lovemaking? That's what God teaches us.
Yeah. And he's like, just sitting there smiling, and she's like looking down, just nodding like, okay. I mean, Danny, like, you're basically begging for this to end. You know, like, I feel like every man on this show is just like, well, leave me then, you know? Like, yeah. Every single, like, no one seems to really understand what the fuck they're even doing. My God, what a bunch of inept losers.
Danny, I don't know. He scares me. Like, you just, those eyes, I swear to God, he sits there with that big smile, but his eyes, there's like no whites in his eyes. It's just like two pools of blackness. And I'm like, there's something, like, I've always gotten this vibe from him. Like, this guy is not as nice as he appears. I'm like, I'm telling you, there's something is up with this guy.
Yeah. Well, I guess time will tell. Everybody, thanks so much for being here. We will talk to you a little later today with the recap of Southern Hospital. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.